Once again, we have a member of many Amoraim, Dalet Amud Beis, Tehei Amud Aleph, wondering about the din in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us mechitzas have to dofen hasukkah has to be asar tvachim. You have a ten tvachim my sukkah. Where does it come from? Gemara addresses that directly and says we have a drasha. We have that's at least the beginning of a longer shakvatarya. A shakvatarya that stretches over several blot, but begins the bottom of Dalma Bays. In theory, goes as far as Vavama Bays. Megora gets into a whole host of other related or tangentially related topics. But again, if it did in the Mishnah Bays Amud Aleph, Sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim high, and the Gemara begins a conversation on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which we saw the key beginning of that conversation, that we have a drasha to teach us that mechitzas have to be 10 tefachim. Later on, the Gemara makes a suggestion that beginning at the bottom of Hei Amud Beis, maybe there's a different way of looking at it, maybe it's Halacha Moshe V'Sinai, some makor or another, whether it's a drasha, perhaps Halacha Moshe V'Sinai, that there has to be 10 tefachim. We've been focused so far on the opening of the Gemara, Hei Amud Aleph, top of Hei Amud Aleph. We learned the fact that Aaron, the Shekhinah didn't come down to Aretz Nasan al Bnei Adam, but the Shekhinah did rest upon the roof of the Aron and Kaporas. So it was the Shekhinah did rest above the 10 tefach line. That teaches me that mechitzas have to be 10 tefachim. So again, aside from question number two, which is how do you connect point A to point B? How do you get from the Shekhinah to a wall of a sukkah? That we'll hold off on for now. But again, question number one is how does that fit coherently with the later Amoraim, who in the Gemara that were up to in Daf Dalam and Olive, Rava said, Rava tells Abaye, Dira Srucha alone is the reason that Yisrach has to be 10 tefachim off the ground, right? And then Rava said, you can't even have a little bit of schach sticking under 10 tefachim. Right? Rabbi had said, okay, we should follow the rules. As long as that whatever sticks down is so minimal that it doesn't count, as long as whatever sticks down under 10 tefachim is chamasa merum itzilasa, that's insignificant, that's not schach al pi halacha. So the schach al pi halacha is above 10 tefachim. Rabbi thought we're good. And Rava said, no. Even if you have just a little bit of hanging down, that's a dira srucha. You got to have 10 tefachim of clear, open space. Absolutely open space in order for this to be a valid sukkah. Right? Again, yesterday we related that to, we pointed out that Rava's comment here may be what's driving the Tosfos on Beis and Beis, Yamasal Kaman, that there could be things beyond the technical numbers that there's a need for some minimal type of dira. Not diras keva, but at least even to be diras arai is already a standard. And that's what Rav is saying here. It has to be some sort of dira. It can't be a rotten dira. It can't be a diras rucha. So even just to be a diras arai already mandates that it be what? That it be 10 tefachim high or more. So then the question is, one second. You have the early Amorah, I'm telling you, Sundaf, Dalam, Beis, Heim, and Aleph. That I have a drasha, maybe I have a Lachem Moshe Sinai, is a din of Asar Tvachim. What do you mean? Who needs the formal sources? You have a practical consideration. Once you have, presuming it's all rooted, Rav is rooted in the Pasuk of Teshvu, Pasuk of Teshvu, Shivas Yamim, the word Sukkos tells me I need Tzchach, that I need shade. Teshvu, presumably, tells me that I need Yeshiva. Right? Teshvu came to Aduru. Presumably, Teshvu is what tells me not only that the activities that I do, the maisim they do in the sukkah are maisim of dira, eating and sleeping and so forth, but it sounds like, from Rava, there's a need for the item to be an item of, it has to be a dira. Not just I have to do dira in the sukkah, but the sukkah has to qualify as at least a dira sarai. It has to be a place of yeshiva. It has to be a place of dira. So once you have that, so gevaldik. Right? So you have, I have a pasuk. The pasuk says teshvu. Right? So who needs more than that? That was the question we talked about yesterday. That's sort of question number one. Question number two, we get involved in the details of the drasha and dafei. But question number one is, when you need any drasha for? Any halacha moshe sinai for? Dira srucha. Rabbi said, Yeshua, you mean to tell me that the Amoraim and Daf Hei are following Abaye? Whoa, that would be surprising. I mean, they're hold of the Yisrucha. That's why they need to give some other drasha? Really? That's a little surprising. Usually, you know, for those of you who have learned Eilam Metzias, you know that Abai and Rava, how do we paskin? Machlek is Abai and Rava, how do we paskin? Gevaldik, right? Rava except for Yalkagam. Those six cases are Rosh Tevi's Yalkagam. But Machlok is we showed him exactly what are those six cases, but this is not one of them, right? Oh, we know their eyes closed, Rabbi Osei, that we pass like Rava here. We pass like Rava. So what do you mean? We should accept the concept of Diras Rucha. We pass like Rava and Dav Dald. So what's going on Dav Hei is?
So are we formulating the question saying that we have Diras Rucha, and so why are we making a drasha for the Sarat Batam, or we have a drasha of a Sarat Batam, why are you saying Diras Rucha?
You could phrase the question either way, but the way you phrased it, the second way you phrased it, I think is not going to work quite so well. In other words, it's clear that if I have a formal din of Yutvachim, there's a sheer Yutvachim, there are certain cases that will be X'd out because of the din Yutvachim.
Yeah.
A sheer Yutvachim, right? So if it's just a legitimate, if it's only 9 Tvachim tall, okay, obviously those get X'd out. But then Rava, and Abaye obviously accepted that. But then Rava came along and said, one second, I have a din of Diras Rucha, which cuts out that plus more. Right? Any case where it's mamish 9 tfachim is going to be knocked out because Diras Rucha. And then there are additional cases that the drasha wouldn't have knocked out. That's why Abaye accepted it. For interest, for example, the case of the Hutzin, minimal Hutzin. So just the drasha of the drasha and Daf Hei would have allowed me to continue to sit in the case of the Hutzin Yerizim. But I was like, but the concept of Diras Rucha knocked it out. So if that's how the picture looks right now, so Rav is introducing me to a concept that includes everything the drasha includes plus more. Who needs the drasha?
Why are we assuming that less than 10 tefachim is all? It's like a Diras Rucha.
Oh, that's what Rav said. Fairish. How did he know?
He said Fairish less than tefachim. He's saying the Hutzin case is Diras Rucha because the Hutzin case is not necessarily a case where it's less than 10 tefachim, at least halachically. It's more of practically there are branches in your case. So that's what makes it a Diras Rucha.
Well, okay, but do you mean to tell me that if there are branches like this, that's a problem? If I put a wall across, then it's not a problem?
I'm not sure.
Maybe. So the truth is, there is such a... One solution might be... One solution might be along those lines. Let's hold off on the for just a second, because now he's trying to talk with Terutim. You have a kasha to clarify?
But was it like Rava for the 10 Tavach Tolstuk?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so what you're pointing out is, one second, maybe there are cases that are, maybe this isn't true. Right? What you're telling me is, let's break what you're saying. You're saying, no, the right way to look at it is sort of like more like this. You know who Ben was? This looks familiar. If not, don't worry. But what you're saying is no. There are cases that are only possible because of the drasha. The case is only possible because of the Diras Rucha. Right? There's something. Each one adds something. So that's very important. Now the truth is there are a couple ways to approach this kasha. One way to approach it would be to say, well, is it really true that the idea of Diras Rucha would totally eliminate the need for a drasha of Yitvachim? There are Rishonim who clearly disagree. How powerful is the din of Diras Rucha? So one solution could be, right, I think you saw, Rishonim debate, we pass him like Rava, but how far is he taking it? Let's say I have a sukkah. The Taka has its 10 Tvachim high, but Hutzim Yardim within 10 Tvachim. So what's the story? So you say, well, we pass him like Rava. Right? We pass him like Rava, and therefore what? And therefore what? So you take a look at the Rambam, and you say, well, Take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah Perek Hey. Right? Rambam Hilchos Sukkah Perek Hey. So let's talk about this. Kashrus Haschach. He starts at the beginning of the parak, and as you expect to begin the parak, sort of a broad picture discussion. He says, look, there are rules for schach. The material schach is made out of, has to fit several regulations. At parak and lacha aleph, you can only be misakek with davar shekidula min haaretz, and nekar min haaretz, and eina mekabel tuma. Okay, those are three things that we're pretty familiar with. And those are the three big rules. And on one hand, it grew from the ground, but now it's no longer connected to the ground, and it's not a kli or a food, not makabel tumah. Rambam also adds something else about the pleasantness. Ein recho ra, ein nosher, ein novel tamid. That it doesn't smell bad or constantly falling in my head. And that sounds right, like we're in the world of diras rucha. Now take a look how the Rambam deals with it. Sikich. Let's see how it breaks it out. If your schach is in violation of one of the first three conditions, then it is what?
Possible.
So if I use a wooden ladder, a wooden spoon, or wooden bowls, or food, that's mekabel tumah, or if I have a tree branch that I yank over onto my sukkah, that's still attached to the ground, or if I have a plastic tarp, or even better, plastic scraps, not gidula min ha'aretz, so that's clearly absolutely no good. You sit in that sukkah, you've been fulfilled nothing. You've done nothing good, you made a bracha to bracha batala, you're in violation of eating at the chutz sukkah, it's a zero. If your schach doesn't fit the first three conditions, there's nothing to do. Aval, he says to the Rambam, in the order of Sikhid, whatever I know, the notion of the Dabra Shere Korah, shame. But if I use something that falls in and has a lot of leaves, it's going to be annoying, it smells bad, that's kosher. Shal Armor Aim is talking about Il El Kadesh Lainiyah Hasukha Vieta. Because when you talk about category 4, the things that are unpleasant, there it sounds like it's almost a Xerah. Well, what are you going to leave it here? We allow you to use this odorous, malodorous schach that has a terrible smell, we're worried. Technically, it's kosher, but after a half hour, you're going to leave. Give up. What's going to happen? Okay. So it sounds almost like a zero. Certainly, the sukkah is kosher. That is the fair. And then the Rambam said, that certainly he's a hair, shlo yigyu hutsin the olin shal schach, yoredin l'sok ha'sarot tvachim, kadesh lo yetzer lo b'shivasa. You have to be careful that you don't have the hutzin and the leaves sticking into the ten tefachim. Kadesh lo yetzer lo bishivasa. The word is yetzer or yetzer. The yud is not part of the shorish. It shouldn't annoy you. It shouldn't give you tzaras. That way it won't annoy you when you sit in sukkah. Now, if you just looked at that lone, what the Rambam saying, he's quoting obviously Rava, quoting Diras Rucha. And how did he translate Diras Rucha? What did he tell us about Diras Rucha? The color. Yeah. You shouldn't do it. Okay, correct. You got to be careful about it, which means...
But theoretically, if you want to, you can still sit in a sukkah and it's not a sukkah.
That's what it sounds like, right? It sounds like the first three conditions, those are the definition of schach. Metal is not schach. A wooden ladder is not schach. Apples are not schach. This is schach, it's just... It sounds like it's wrong, it's a bad idea. It might be even usher to do, but it doesn't sound like it's possible. Now, I would stress, let's just stop for a moment before we continue this again, just appreciate what we just did methodologically, which is, you could have just read, and I guess I want to be more dramatic, but I've done this first. I said on both sides, look at this one line in Rambam. Sarakli, Zara, etc. Because the only line where he's actually directly quoting Sukkah, Davdal, and Olive is Sarakli, Zara. And you look at that line, you say, okay, he's clearly quoting the din of Rava, he passes like Rava, he's translating Diras Rucha as it's unpleasant, which is not surprising. And what's he say about L'chatchil B'dyeved? Maybe it sounds like it's not L'chatchil, sorry, Zahir sounds a little bit, he's holding back. Right? But if you just read that line, of that one line of Rambam in a vacuum, you get a little bit of a sense that he's trying to say, L'chatchil versus B'dyeved. It's not 100% clear. But that's why
learning Rambam in context is absolutely critical. Learning things in context in general is very, very important. You tend to gain a lot by seeing things in context. That's why it's often a very good idea to Tosfos quote a Gemara, take a look at the Gemara. Tosfos quote one line of the Gemara, and take a look at the bigger picture. Maybe you might notice that you could see how other Rishonim might have read the Gemara differently, or Tosfos saying some Chiddush in the way he's quoting the Gemara. It's always a good idea to look things up. With Rambam in particular, there's particular value in looking things up in Rambam because Rambam's one of his main objectives was to put things into logical order, to resequence and reorganize all the Dinim Torah Shel Peh. So there's so much that he tells you by context. When you see the address, when you see where the Rambam put it in, the Rambam in particular, the location, the context is so fraught with meaning because he thought for years about where he's putting things. So, and here, again, like I said, it becomes very clear that he's putting this din of Giras Rucha together with dinim that you saw later in the parak, Yud-Gimel, that you saw in Pekiyas, and he's putting them all into one category, and he was explicit a line earlier that category 4 is kosher but raw. And in Rambam, it's hard to miss his move to contextualize. Right? So you look at Rabbeinu Manoach, he says that if you look at Rabbeinu Manoach, take questions and comments. If you look at Rabbeinu Manoach, I'm sorry, I worked very hard to try to get a good copy of Rabbeinu Manoach, but it wasn't coming out well, so I'm sorry if you missed some of the words. He talks a lot about our sugya, but in the opening lines of Rabbeinu Manoach, he says right away, Das HaRav, in the opinion of the Rav, meaning the Rambam, Shem Hutzin Yordim Osal Chasara, the Hutzin go into 10, and he explains what that means. If you haven't seen the Gemara, which Alom Matami Asara, the Tal Chasara means under 10. Lo Mifsla Bahachi B'Diavet. It's not possible. But the impression we got from the Rambam, Rabbeinu Manoach confirms, the time will come to Shemushal Yetzal Lo Bishivasa. The concern is it shouldn't bother you, and in context, Rambam is saying, if it does bother you, right, you'll leave. L'chadchilu ha-di-eved shaper dami. Okay. Now. And by the way, the Rambam, Rabbi Manoach is not the only one who interpreted the Rambam this way. Who else did? Which other Rishon did you meet? Rabbi Manoach is a Rishon. Rabbi Manoach, no one had until not long ago. In the traditional print, the Vilna print of the Rambam did not have Rabbeinu Manoach. This is one of the chidushim of the Frankel Rambam. One of the main chidushim was to add several new notes that came to the page, whatever they were able to get their hands on. One of which Rabbeinu Manoach, a major, major, major contribution. Yeah, who else? Who else says it? Fresh hand, who else says it? Mayor?
Oh, Meiri spells it out.
Meiri spells it out. What did you say? On the Aruch, fantastic. Now the Meiri, it's kedai to see Meiri for a lot of reasons. Any opportunity to get a flavor. The Meiri is a Rishon, by the way, as an aside, as we turn to Meiri, who we got, did not have at all for centuries. The entire Sefer Beis HaBechira, which is sort Rambam-esque, but al Seder HaGemara, and with references to the different approaches in Rishonim, was a gem that was hidden away in the Vatican for a couple of centuries. And then sort of came out fully for, like, we got the whole set in its entirety because it was just sitting safely stored away in the library. So we all of a sudden went from 0 to 60 and from 0 to 100. All of a sudden we got this beautiful set of Meiri with almost perfect manuscript. And there's almost no, often with manuscripts that have been bounced around from library to library, they may have been water damaged. Gorgeous. We have basically his entire set, so all the Masechtas he wrote on. So it's a pleasure. He writes in a very, like the Rambam, he chose to write in Mishnah Hebrew. Like the Rambam, sort of, he chose not to identify who he's quoting. Unlike the Rambam, he gives you consistently the Shaklavataria and the different discussion we showed him the different Shitos. But he anonymizes a little bit. I'm not sure if it was out of deference to the Rambam's style or for some other reason. But one of the things about the Meiri is that he has code names for everyone. Something you have to get used to. I'm not sure if there's anyone else, any other Rishon who does this. But one of the things Meiri is famous for, just in terms of his style, is he won't say, Rashi said, you know the way Tosis always calls Rashi Kuntris, almost always refers to Rashi as Kuntris? But someone, the Rebbe taught you in elementary school, when it says Kuntris, it means Rashi. Right? The Meiri does that for everyone. Everyone has a code name. It's like a remarkable thing. You learn a lot. Now is not the time. A lot of history. You can get appreciate which code names he gives to which Rishonim. Chaim Soloveitchik points out there's a lot of chidushim in sort of how he names different people. The name he gives to the Ravid is surprising. The name he gives to Rashi is surprising. So it gives us new perspective we didn't have on certain Rishonim. We don't think of Rashi as a major posik, but the Meiri clearly did. We don't think of the Ravid as an author of Chidushim al-Hashas, but the Meiri clearly did. Now the name for the Rambam is not surprising. The name for the Rambam is the great composer, as in composer of a work. So here, take a look in this Meiri you have in the packet. Gavoa me'asar, it says Gavoa asar v'hutzim yordim l'socha asara af api. If you imagine the schach is not that, little bits are not there because, oh, sorry, if you imagine all the schach above 10 tefachim disappearing, hahutzim nisharim, the pieces that stick under the 10 tefachim line remain, chamas hasukim aruba, it will be more sunny than shaded, and therefore the hutzim don't count, they are not valid schach, it's still possible, shadira saruchi, Koin Rava, Tadira Srucha. You'll notice he doesn't quote the Shaka Vatar of the Gemara, but he's giving you the bottom line of the Gemara in a developed way. He's giving you the Maskana with the Svaris. It's sort of Rambam style, but not but a much fuller conversation than Rambam. Avapi came Sula, it's still a Pasuk of Tadira Srucha. What Chish did Ray tell us? Pasuk. If you can't find seven tvachim and seven tvachim without these sticks sticking down, the whole sukkah is possible. They're gonna hear he's borrowing the language of the Tanaim from elsewhere. They're gonna slap you in the face. Elsewhere, the Tanaim speak metaphorically about mitzvahs coming and being reminded by the tzitzis about what your responsibilities are. But here, it's obviously being tongue in cheek, these hutsin will slap in the face of mitzarino, so it's going to be annoying. The yesh machshen osa b'diavad. Some held no, that is kash b'diavad. V'af l'shon gedoli ha-mechab mochiach kein. And even the language of the greatest of the composers, which is his consistent name for the Rambam. That's how when he wants to say Rambam, like Ratosis says Kuntras to mean Rashi, when he says wants to say Rambam, he says Gedolei Mechaberim consistently throughout the Zayin. Lo kasu p'psul, he didn't write puzzle. El shetzarich lizar b'kach. That's what he's pointing out in that line itself. He said tzarich lizar is supposed to puzzle. We point out if you look at the context, it becomes even clearer. And you are absolutely correct, Noam. And the Aruch HaNer did not have a Meiri. And Aruch HaNer did not have Reh Menach. And Aruch HaNer said. He said, but I found a different Rishon who doesn't quote Rambam explicitly, but probably had in mind that Rishon is the Ritva. Ritva doesn't even say who he's quoting. Is that true? Right? The Ritva says it's possible, but lo l'chatchil b'lvav. It's not just a problem l'chatchil. Kedas mixas ha-chachamin zechron l'vracha. He doesn't even want to say who he's naming. The Meiri did. That's how, for some reason, that's how the Meiri says Rambam. He says Gedolei Mechaberim. The Ritva really anonymizes the Rambam. The Aruch HaNer pointed out, you know who the Ritva had in mind? He had in mind the Rambam. They read the Rambam. So what do we have? So we have a machlokas, again, a machlokas Arishonim, between the Rambam on the one hand and the Ritva and the Meiri on the other hand. How deeply was Rava saying this? Was Rava saying Diras Rucha puzzle? Or was Rava saying Diras Rucha so you should avoid it? Now, either way, whether you ask the Rav, if you have a sukkah that had Hutzim Yordim Sokha Sara, and you ask any of them, you showed him, can I sit in it? They would say no. The Rava would agree to the Ritva and the Meiri, you may not. You are forbidden to sit in the sukkah. That's absolutely true. Presumably, Rava does mean Sarah Bazaar probably does mean you're not allowed to, not just we would recommend, you're not allowed to. But on the other hand, the Ram would say, but if you did, you're yote. First night of sukkahs, you sat in such a sukkah, you had your kezias of bread, you're yote, the chiyuv to eat in the sukkah the first night. And throughout sukkahs, You got a mitzvah. It wasn't a bracha levatala. That was wrong. Maybe it was the wrong thing to do. You violated Yisra Rabbanu, but lamaisa, you it is. He doesn't say it's possible. It's the wrong thing to do. Not possible. Not possible. B'dyevet. Maybe shasat chak. Maybe we say shasat chak. Could you ever dummy? Maybe I don't have any sukkah. The Rambam might say, so you don't have any choice. I mean, you should move it better than nothing. Whereas Ritva would say, well, I mean, it's nothing. It's zero. Puzzle. Garnished. Right? Ritva and the Iri say, puzzle. So, of course, so answer number one to the kasha. If our first kasha is, why do we need the drasha? So, answer number one. According to Rambam, we're good. Because according to Rambam, no. Zira Shrucha just tells you it's a problem l'chatchila. The drasha tells me there are 9 tefach sukkahs absolutely possible. Right? So that's answer number one. If the question is, how these two pieces of Gemara hang together, the answer is, well, according to Rambam, is gevaldik. As a matter of fact, some even suggest that this is, I believe the Aruch HaNer says, that maybe this is what drove the Rambam to his Shita. Because he said, I get to a Gemara a lot later, and we have a different source. So how do I make sense of this? The Aruch HaNer says, it's this very question, which was a mucker for the Rambam. That's what drove the Rambam to say, oh, it must be a Dira Sukha, just a Din L'Chatchila, whereas the Drasha, obviously, did B'dyevik. If it's Mamash HaSen Ten Fachim, it's not Kosher at all. So that if you hold out the Rambam, you're great. The problem is, I'm going to need another answer, because what if I don't hold like the Rambam? The Ritzvah and the Mi'iri do not hold like the Rambam. And if you read the Rabbeinu Manoach, he continues to say, he says, you know, if you read the Gemara in Davdala Manoach, it doesn't sound like he's saying it's in the Chatchila. Savra Bayil Memrar, it's okay. Rabbi said, no, Dira Srucha. It really sounds like from the Gemara in Davdala, it sounds pretty conclusive. It sounds pretty comprehensive. So that's Rabbeinu Manoach starts getting involved in it. How the Rambam read the Gemara? Daf Dalad, yes, no, maybe. Certainly not a simple thing to say like the Rambam, and clearly, seems like Rov Rishonim disagree. Right? The Ritzvah disagrees, the Mi'iri disagrees. So how are they going to answer this question? So that's why we need to look for a second answer, and maybe even a third answer. A second answer could be, you know, maybe we need the Drasha to cover, like we were saying, the drasha covers something the Dira Srucha does not. So some Achronim say, oh, you know what the drasha covers? Shabbos. Dira Srucha tells me that if we were under 10 Tvachim, it's not a kosher sukkah. But as you saw, right, the Gemara in Shabbos Davav quotes a brisa that tells me, Dal Rishuyis L'Shabbos. There's a notion of Rosh Hashayachid, Rosh Hasharabim, and so on and so forth. And the definition of Rosh Hashayachid for Shabbos purposes is what? Is a place that's mukaf mechitzas. How high do mechitzas have to be? 10 tvachim. Ah, they say, look, Dira Srucha might have helped me to know that a 9 tefach sukkah is not kosher. But there's no need for a Dira in a sukkah. There's no need for a Dira in a Rosh Hashayachid. You could qualify the Rosh Hashayachid for Shabbos that being royal adira. So some of the Achronim float that possibility. Maybe we really need the drasha. We don't really need the drasha for Sukkah. We really need the drasha for just for Shabbos. Once you have the drasha for Shabbos, we use it for Sukkah too. But you know what I mean? If the only din of 10 tefachim was Sukkah, we say Dira Srucha. But that can't be the only din because mechitzos exist outside of Sukkah. Also, we have a notion of mechitza by Shabbos. And so you need to have a fundamental din of what's it called? You need to have a fundamental din, a shir of asar tvachim. Yeah? Questions of understanding? Naomi seems very bothered. Yehuda seems very bothered, no?
So first, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah and then says Menoah. So that's the first thing. And then, Tosfos, talking about Shabbos, also says, Behad Devayna Nami. How can you singularize it?
Correct. Correct. So you're right that this is, if the first answer is Delo Keritvo Meiri, the second answer is Delo Ketosis. Ketosis is very clear that this is for Shabbos also. We need this Rosh Hashanah for both Sukkah and Shabbos.
Why is it that you
That's a great question, right? It's hard. It definitely is hard. The Achronim do make this suggestion, but it's a little bit hard to swallow. It clearly Tosfos didn't think so, and you're right. And why does the Gemara appear in Sukkah as opposed to Shabbos? And it doesn't sit incredibly well. Maybe that's the answer, but it's what do you want to say, Yehuda? And then Avraham. No? Solved?
The question was, why do you need the drasha of the Shechina showing that you need 10 tefachim?
Right. Correct.
Then the...
Why isn't it sufficient to just to use the concept of Dira Srucha to disqualify every sukkah which is under 10 tefachim? Okay. So one solution is Dira Srucha doesn't disqualify. Doesn't make it possible, but you have it. So we need the drash of that. Answer number two, which some Acharam suggests as well, maybe Dira Srucha works for Shabbos, we still need a drasha to tell me the concept of a tenfach for Mechitza, which is relevant in Shabbos. But that too is somewhat difficult, but clearly is not the approach of Tosfos. And that finally brings us to answer number three.
What does the have to do with Rishos?
That's a great question, which we're going to get to. Right? Question number two is how does that drasha work? At this point, we're still dealing with that. I promise we'll get to. Here, question number one is what do we need a drasha for? Oh, drasha alacha v'shina. Who needs it? We have Dira Srucha. I said to myself, I said, according to the Rambam, we understand because Dira Srucha is on the din l'chatchila, that's not the same strength, not the same intensity. Okay. And then, so you would say, the first character is saying that the drasha adds depth. The Yerushalcha is just a din l'chatchila. The drasha makes it even possible to have it, right? The second teretz is saying that the drasha adds width or breadth, because the Yerushalcha just tells me that's a problem by sukkah, but the drasha expands it more broadly to say it's even a problem by Shabbos. But again, that's expanding things very broadly, and that's saying that we only in the world of sukkah at all. The third approach, which to my mind is, I think, the most obvious, and it's certainly an approach that the post of Pnei Yeshua and the Aruch HaNer are excited about, is to say also that the drasha makes it more broad. The drasha expands the din of ten tefachim to cover more cases, but not just Shabbos. Even within the world of sukkah, and the simplest way to express it might be the following. There are fancy cases where it wouldn't be a diras. What we're saying is there might be cases of a sukkah that are less than 10 tefachim, but aren't diras rucha. Right? So that's this. There are cases which are diras rucha, even though it's technically 10 tefachim, like the hutzin yard. Then yeah, on the other hand, you have cases which are not a diras rucha, but fall short of the formal halacha of asara tefachim. So what would a case like that look like? I think the simplest case, and then we'll come back, Izzy and Ephraim were talking about a complex case, which comes up. I think the simplest case is to think about this. Look at this sukkah. If you enjoy the artwork, look at that sukkah. That's why you see that sukkah. So I have a wall. The wall doesn't reach the schach. Right? Okay, the wall doesn't reach the schach. Walls of the sukkah do not have to reach the schach. That's probably a basic application of the concept of good asik. Right? And it comes up in Hilchos Shabbos also. But if I have a mechitza, my mechitza is high enough. Then not only even the airspace above is all mukav mechitzas. Mechitzas expand, right? If I build a sukkah like this, and then the schach is floating on top of the mechitzas, as long as it's lined up directly, so that's fine. As some of you may have come across in your Eruv tours, a somewhat related concept that the wire doesn't have to touch the pole as long as it's directly aligned above, right? So there's such a similar concept by sukkah also. You can have, if you have walls down here, and then there's some space, and you have the schach above, that's fine. Right? So that's what you see here. So you have walls, And then there's open space, you have windows, beautiful, and they have schach on top. Even if they didn't have these bars. Even if I just a schach is somehow, let's say there are buildings, and the schach goes across, right, from one building to another building, and I have walls down below, that's totally fine. Right, imagine you build walls in your, you have a driveway between two houses, and you put schach across, you know, across above the driveway from one house to another, from roof to roof, and down below, you have walls. Totally fine. Right. Is that dira srucha? If I have the srach is 20 feet in the air, is that dira srucha?
No.
Exactly. But the wall, how about the walls are 5 tefachim high? I have 5 tefachim high walls, and the srach is extended. The srach is elevated. The srach is more than 10 tefachim off the ground, but the walls aren't. Right. If all I had was dira srucha only tells me the height of the empty space that I need. You need to have 10 tefachim, you need to have a column of empty space that's at least 10 tefachim high. But it doesn't tell me I need to have mechitas going all the way up the sides of that. If there was no drasha on daf hey of mechitza asar tefachim, I would say, look, I need to have tefanos. Okay, I have to have tefanos. My tefanos are, to my knees. I don't know, 5 tefachim, 6 tefachim, whatever it is, 3 tefachim, 8 tefachim. And then I'll have schach above. It's not dira srucha. Dira, what Rava is talking about, is it's not just a problem that the walls are too short, it's the schach is too low. And the schach is sticking in my face. Or even if it's not halachic schach, but there are pieces that are sticking in my face. That's the problem. Okay, so that's dira srucha. But just because you raise the schach doesn't mean you necessarily raise the walls. So if all I have, what I'm saying is, if all I had was dira srucha, if all I had was a din of dira srucha, that would tell me that the minimum height of the sukkah is 10 tefachim. But it would not tell me, I mean the minimum height of the schach is 10 tefachim. But it wouldn't tell me that the walls have to reach a height of 10 tefachim. I could have had, if all I had was a din of dira srucha, and this is along with, this is essentially what the Pnei Yeshua and Aruch HaNer drive that as well. I was very excited when I saw that. The first thing I felt, I was looking around on Daf Dalet, Amud Aleph, a dira srucha, wasn't find anyone. Tabas pointed out to me, you got to look at Aruch HaNer later, and then I already found the Pnei Yeshua also. But that was very exciting. That what? That they say more or less this idea. A dira srucha would only tell me how high the schach has to be. But the drasha daf hey tells me how high the mechitzas have to be. So you need both. There are there are cases which are only possible because of dira srucha, and then there are cases which are only possible because of mechitzas asar. A case is only possible because of dira. That's why you need both. That's why you need both dinim. You need a formal din of mechitzas asar tefachim. That's a din, a drasha, or halacha moshe sinai. That's a formal din, a definition of what constitutes a mechitza. And as Tosis pointed out to us, that's something that applies beyond sukkah. That applies to sukkah, that applies to Shabbos, it applies, by the way, in other cases also, kelai hakerem, there's also a din of mechitza, there are other areas of halacha. Mechitza is a broad concept in halacha. So, and that's a din, and it applies apparently to sukkah as well. I need a mechitza of 10, and then I also need that the schach should be 10. You can have a case where the schach is above 10, but the mechitzas are short and don't touch the schach. So then, it's not dira srucha, but I only have mechitzas asara. I'm lacking the formal din of shein mechal shein mechitza. You like the Lomdish terminology, right? So the Gemara in Daf Hei is being koyveya that there's a chal shein mechitza. There's the halacha concept of mechitza, a construct, if you will, and it has formal definition. Part of the formal definition is has to be 10. If it's not 10 tefach ma, it's not a mechitza. We still need to figure out why that is, but we're going to get there. Right? And on the other hand, there's the second din, the Rav was Moses. He's not replacing the first din, but he's adding, is there two dinim to require asara? The din mechitzas have to be asara, the fanas have to be asara, and the din that the schach has to be asara off the ground. The schach has to be asara off the ground. I need airspace of asara. But those are two different things. I need both of them, l'chumra. There could be a case where the schach is floating in the air above low walls, so I don't have dira srucha, I have my airspace, but I don't have a chal shei mechitza. And then li'idach gisa, I can have beautiful walls that are 10 tefachim high, but the schach is sagging into my airspace. I have the right shear on the mechitzas, but I don't have the right shear on the schach, or to put it differently, I don't have the right shear in terms of the open space. So the first case is a case where I need the din of asara tefachim, the formal din of asara, mechitzas asara, the hagdara of a mechitza is asara tefachim, I need that to tell me that the low walls don't help me. And then I need rabba din of dirasrucha to tell me that if I have beautiful mechitzas but the schach is sagging down, that's not good either. So those are the two dinim that jump out at you. And going back, and let's roll back for a moment, then we'll take some questions. And then I think we're going to pick up tomorrow with the second leg of this journey in terms of digging into how that drasha works, which is very, very important and very, very sadistic. Let's just go back to where we started. In other words, if you plug it back, as I've said many times, it's an incredible value in chazering Ion inside. And you look back and now you see the things in the Makoros you had seen before, you hadn't seen before. And now you see that when you were learning that Gemara in Daf Dal for the first time, it ought to have leapt out at you immediately. And it's fine if it didn't, but that's the sensitivity that you're growing, some of the sensitivities that you're gaining as you progress. It should leap out at you right away. Wow, Rava's saying there are two dinim in mechitzos. It should leap out at you right away. Mahog's Abai and Rava, is there just this formal din? There has to be Asara, and it's Asara, so we're good to go. And Rava's saying, no, but there's an added dynamic. There's a second din of a dira, the quality of the dira, aside from the formal din of the Shir Yitvachim. And now we process that through in terms of, it strikes you as interesting. Okay, you see the Gemara Dav Dalad Abed Alef on its own. Okay, sounds like a machlek. Is it one din mechitza, two din? One din Yitvachim, two din Yitvachim. And then when you see the Gemara and Dav, hey, you wonder, well, why do we need the formal din of Asar Tfachim, we have Yerushalayim anyway. And again, three approaches to how to make sense of that. Either Zira Srucha is only the Chatchila, Shita of the Rambam, but that won't help us according to Ritzvah Iri who disagree. Or Samachrom suggests maybe in a Hanami for Sukkah purposes we could have gotten away with just Zira Srucha, but we need for other applications of the Chitza require a Jerusha or Lach Mishasina for Sar Tvachim. So that was approach number two. But again, Tosas seems to think that Tosas does indicate that we need this din even for Sukkah itself, and after all, the placement in the Gemara is suggestive. And finally, approach number three is that there are cases of Kana Lukan. Each din has its own strength and weakness. Each din applies in certain cases, not in other cases, and we need the two to cover both. Mayor.
I understand what the Sanhedrin is saying, but it very much does not seem to me to be what the Gemara says.
How do you mean?
Because the Gemara never says anything about the fact that the mechitzas has to be 10 tefachim. The heading of the Gemara is that it's not taller than 10 tefachim is possible. Then we say minala.
Oh.
But it doesn't say anything about it.
Fantastic. So let's leave with this, which is you're pointing out a profound irony that I thought it would end with, but I'm glad you picked up on. Even the din of asara tefachim for mechitza is rooted in the space. The Gemara presents that drasha as rishos. So we're going to have to, and that brings us back to what Izzy was asking in the beginning of Shir, what Ephraim was asking yesterday. We're going to have to get back to, and we will, Mitchem, tomorrow, move on to Chelek number two, the Maram Kamos, which is question number two, which is, now that we're learning this Gemara and Daf, hey, how does the drasha work? And we'll see, it's a technical question, as they get us into some... No, because it's Dina Mechitzas. And then there is a Dina Mechitzas. Well, that Tosus does tell you that, though. Once I was telling you, this is the makar for Shabbos also, because the Gemara in Shabbos said, you need Asar Tvach and never say where you know it from. And Tosa says, no, that comes from here. Now we see it clearly as a din of the Mechitza. But how does it work?
The Gemara never says that, though.
Okay, so we will pick that up tomorrow, Mitzvah. I think by the time we're done, hopefully it'll be more Mitzvah. Rabbi, say enjoy your lunch. We shall continue.